I'm Don Schaefer, the host of Impact, and you're listening to Roundhouse Radio on Demand. This is Roundhouse Radio at 98.3 in Vancouver. I'm Don Schaefer, and this radio program is called Impact. You can listen to us daily over the air and, of course, online at roundhouseradio.com. We're speaking with Thomas Reisman, director and producer of The Grizzly Truth, and Ross Dixon, who's the policy and program manager for the Rain Coast Conservation Foundation. Let's talk a little bit about grizzly hunting, because I don't know much about it. I'm not a hunter. So where does this story start? Who wants to go first?
Well, I saw an article on Al Jazeera News, actually, which introduced it to an international audience. And I was really intrigued by this whole controversy because it's such an interesting interplay of different groups and issues. I mean, it involves the rights of First Nations, the environment, science, conservation, but also tourism and hunting, but also politics and traditions and even psychology. And in the middle of all that is the iconic grizzly bear. And First Nations consider the grizzly bear as a kind of a teacher, but also, you know, the ancestors come back. And it's almost as if the grizzly bear is sort of teaching us something here in this whole debate.
Ross, how about your organization? Talk to me about what you do and how you came about doing it.
So our whole mission is to protect the land, waters and wildlife of coastal British Columbia. And a key part of that for us is protecting the grizzly bear. And we have a focus on that in the Great Bear Rainforest, the central coast of BC, where it's still a North American stronghold of grizzly bears. We've been working now for over 20 years to end the trophy hunting of grizzly bears in that area. And like Thomas was just saying, this is an issue that's very complex. Over a decade ago, we actually had a moratorium on the grizzly hunt that banned grizzly hunting in BC, but that was quickly overturned by the incoming government. And we realized that, perhaps a political solution wasn't going to be the only solution. So we took a different approach. And what we actually started to do is we started to become hunters ourselves. And we raised, in 2005, we raised $1.3 million to buy the rights to shoot grizzly bears in a large area of the Great Bear Rainforest.
So how do you do that?
So basically, there's two types of hunting of grizzly bears in British Columbia. That's split between a resident hunt for people within British Columbia and non-residents. And for non-residents, they have to be guided by a licensed outfitter who has a license to harvest, and that's the kind of the management term, a certain number of animals in a defined area. And that includes grizzly bears. So what we did is actually negotiated with the owners of this territory, and we now actually own three different territories in the Great Bear Rainforest, to purchase the rights. So if you want to come, it's actually now over 30,000 square kilometers of the Great Bear Rainforest, and this is something we did in partnership with Coastal First Nations, who have actually outlawed the trophy hunting in the traditional territories. If you want to come to those areas as a non-resident of BC and shoot a grizzly bear, you have to come with Rain Coast Conservation Foundation. And we kind of glibly remark that in the years since we've owned those tenures, we have a zero success rate in shooting the grizzly bears. And whilst that's, it's kind of comical in a way that, we say that now really people are shooting them only with cameras when they come with Rain Coast. But it also talks to another issue around the hunt, which is the economics of it. And again, we know, especially for the Great Bear Rainforest, that from an economic perspective as well, there's significantly more value in the commercial viewing of bears and other related tourism than there is in actual guide outfitting. This is really a sunset industry that overwhelmingly throughout British Columbia, the public is opposed to. And is also, especially in the Great Bear Rainforest, already outlawed under traditional laws of coastal First Nations. So it's really an issue that is perhaps emblematic of the fact that there's significant influence in BC politics from those donating to have their interests represented. And unfortunately, the grizzly bear suffers from that type of influence.
We have a clip from the movie that talks to the BC government. Let's just play that.
Yeah, so this year we finally realize that for whatever reason, our messages and the messages of local people are not really getting through to government. So for the first time, we thought, well, maybe we're not lobbying properly. We're not using the available apparatus. We went to a couple of Liberal Party fundraisers. The first big one we went to was in Prince George. And it was a big, nice event. Christy Clark, the Premier, was there. And of all the contributors that evening, the biggest prize that was given out, the biggest donation, was from the Guide Outfitters of British Columbia. And that was when we had a real eureka moment. We suddenly thought, so this is how the game is played.
We're speaking with Thomas Reisman, director and producer of The Grizzly Truth, and Ross Dixon, who's the policy and program manager for the Raincoast Conservation Foundation. It seems interesting that you're raising money to subsidize an industry to not do what they're normally doing.
We wouldn't term it a subsidy. I think actually when you look at and I'll explain why. In some ways, the trophy hunt is actually subsidized by British Columbians because the revenues generated for the province actually don't match the costs of managing the hunt. But what we're doing is basically it's a commercial transaction that certain individuals own the rights. This is the way wildlife or parts of wildlife management works in British Columbia. They own the rights to trophy hunt animals in a certain area, and we want to acquire those rights to extinguish it, because whilst lots of people are pursuing a political solution to this, we also recognize that the solution we have around buying the rights to shoot the grizzly bears and then not shooting them is one that works. And perhaps really importantly, and I really want to reinforce this, is it's also something that in the Great Bear Rainforest is supported. We're collaborating with Coastal First Nations on doing this. And that's a really important part of the story here, that in the Great Bear Rainforest, the trophy hunting has been banned by Coastal First Nations. So if you visit the South Terminal of Vancouver Airport, you'll see a very clear sign that communicates that clearly from the different nations in the coast and in the Great Bear Rainforest, that trophy hunting is closed there.
But grizzly hunting is legal in much of BC, correct?
Yeah, that's correct, yeah.
And it starts on April 1st.
Yeah, there's actually like a few different dates. It varies by the different areas, but that's right. So come April 1st, you can, I think as a resident of British Columbia for around $120, a bargain price, you can go out and shoot a grizzly bear. And I think one thing to maybe reinforce here, given that this is a trophy hunt, is this is not about people putting food on the table. Raincoast as an organization is not opposed to food hunting for sustenance. This is about hunting for trophy. This is really about an egotistical desire for people to shoot something for their own pleasure and fun, which is really a massively outdated practice around the world, and definitely one in British Columbia and even Canada that is now overwhelmingly opposed by the public.
Yeah, I guess I'm a little stunned about the whole notion of trophy hunting and who does it and why, and why do we allow it?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a portion in the film that's dedicated to a study that was done at UVic that looked at the psychology behind the motivation for grizzly bear trophy hunting and why people do this. And I've also found this to be true when I was talking to hunters on a Facebook page. There's quite a few hunters that will say, like this is all for conservation and we're doing this for the bears. And eventually, though, you get through to the honest truth. And that is, they literally said to me they like standing on top of the king of the forest. So there's this sensation of, you prove something about yourself by killing one of these powerful animals. But the truth is, of course, they're about 350 yards away and they're shooting them with a rifle while they're probably grazing on berries and grass. A significant portion of the film actually looks at the motivation behind that. Having said that, I mean, not all trophy hunting is about the thrill of the kill, as Brian Falconer actually put it in the film. Some trophy hunting with regards to moose and elk and other ungulates that you can actually eat is a tradition in rural areas where people get together and then they have a point scoring system about the antlers. So I wouldn't throw all trophy hunting into that category of, the thrill of the kill.
This is Roundhouse Radio at 98.3 in Vancouver. I'm Don Schaefer. This program is called Impact. We're going to take a short break and come back after this.
Roundhouse Radio.
It's a radio station that is diverse.
I like other perspectives.
Intelligent.
I'm really interested in people's stories.
Entertaining.
It's important that we get that local talent out there.
And engaging.
Roundhouse Radio.
It's a place where the community gathers and shares.
Roundhouse. 98.3 Vancouver.
Our city. Your voice.
This is Roundhouse Radio at 98.3 in Vancouver. I'm Don Schaefer. This program is called Impact. We're speaking with Thomas Reisman, who's the director and producer of The Grizzly Truth, and Ross Dixon, who's the policy and program manager for the Raincoast Conservation Foundation. I was watching the trailer, and you've got a character that I just love who pops out. And I guess his name is Charlie?
Yes, Charlie Ruffle.
Can you talk to us about him and maybe set up this clip we're going to play?
Absolutely. So Charlie Ruffle is kind of a celebrity in the bear world. He's recently actually had a talk that was to a sold out crowd here in Calgary. He's a famous naturalist who lived with grizzly bears in Russia, and he spent a lot of time with grizzly bears in order to overcome some of the myths about the grizzly bear being ferocious and dangerous, but also unpredictable. And in this clip that we can hear now, he talks a little bit about that particular myth.
I have a long lifetime of trying to understand these animals, and I don't particularly appreciate being compared to Timothy Treadwell, as though we're just two fools waiting to be killed by bears.
I love the way he sounds. Can you talk about Timothy Treadwell?
Yeah, Timothy Treadwell is the subject of a documentary by Werner Herzog, another German director. And he did a documentary called Grizzly Man. And in that documentary, somebody named Timothy Treadwell lived with the grizzly bears in Alaska. And he was eventually killed by a grizzly bear, along with his girlfriend, Amy. And, you know, Charlie still gets compared to Timothy Treadwell, who's considered a bit of a fool, because every time, and this happened during the talk in Calgary as well, there is always going to be a question about what is different between Charlie Ruffle and Timothy Treadwell. And in the movie, Charlie really sort of explains how he's very different to Timothy Treadwell, how he was not naive about the bears being dangerous and in some instances. And he explains why, you know, you have to take precautions when you're in bear country. And Timothy Treadwell just did not do that. So while this Timothy Treadwell incident is really being used against him and against this idea that grizzly bears are actually a lot more peaceful, Charlie really uses this opportunity in order to educate people that it's not a black or white story. It's a nuanced story.
It's a really interesting trailer. I look forward to seeing the movie. The movie is actually released when? This week?
The movie is being released on the 30th of March, so that's on Thursday, and people can watch it online via Vimeo on demand. Simply by Googling The Grizzly Truth, they will find a link that will send them straight to Vimeo on demand, and they can watch it there.
I saw a note that the proceeds from the film will support efforts by Raincoast Conservation Foundation to buy out more hunting areas and ban the hunt, which is very generous. And Ross, you have to be pleased with that.
Yeah, we're really grateful that this story is being told, and we're really grateful for the support. Actually, the day after the film comes out this Friday, we'll be launching a Save the Great Bears campaign that you'll be able to see on the Raincoast website. That is actually all around raising the funds required to buy the remaining commercial tenures in the territories of Coastal First Nations. So basically, you'll be able to, we're doing this by launching a grizzly bar, which is being produced by Denman Island Chocolates. So you'll be able to basically eat chocolate, save grizzly bears, and win a trip to the Great Bear Rainforest with
With your
rain
camera.
Cost.
With your camera.
With your camera, yeah. And on our research vessel, a 68-foot research vessel, the Achiever, to where you can actually go and experience the reality of what it's like to be in the presence of grizzly bears. So we encourage everyone to check out our website on Friday and look for a chance to help us end the trophy hunt of grizzly bears in the territories of coastal First Nations.
I'm assuming you've done this.
Yeah, I've had the pleasure to do it in the Kootamitin and also actually on our own research vessel with my colleagues and a range of donors who are supporting our work. And it's I have to say it's a deeply humbling experience. And often the question that's asked is, oh, well, surely you're afraid. It must be so scary. And, you know, I have the pleasure and the privilege of spending time in one of the inlets on the coast with a group of other people from the vessel and friends and colleagues in the presence of, you know, over a dozen grizzly bears. And they have a sophisticated way of communicating with us, just like, you know, dogs, horses, many other animals and humans do.
Sure.
That really tell us about their tolerance and their ability to tolerate our presence when our intentions are good. And actually, it's actually to go back to the movie, something I read myself from Charlie's father, who talked about the difference in a book that was written decades ago, that he himself noticed the difference from when he was carrying a rifle on his shoulder to when he was carrying a camera, which is part of his transition as well from trophy hunting to bear viewing and wildlife conservation in a very different way. And really, it's really about time that happened. The province of British Columbia is overwhelmingly in support of that. There's a means to make it happen, and we just hope people can help us save the great bears.
Tom, is there a moment when you were first exposed to this that you again were humbled?
Oh, I was humbled the entire time, not just by, you know, the complexities of the issue, but also by the grizzly bear itself. I mean, the grizzly bear is an iconic and fascinating species. And being so close to them, I had the opportunity of viewing them together with Tom Rivest at Great Bear Nature Tours. I was just in awe of these spectacular species. I mean, being from Europe, we used to have bears all over Europe. We don't anymore. And there's something incredibly humbling and special in seeing those creatures still all over British Columbia.
So if I were a hunter and we were doing this interview, what's the question I would ask you? What's the other side of this story? What's the opposing viewpoint?
There are a number of arguments made in favor of grizzly bear hunting. And one of the big myths about grizzly bear hunting is that if you are going to shoot a male grizzly bear, that then decreases cub mortality because male grizzly bears predate on cubs. That's one of the most popular myths that you hear from hunters. And the reasoning goes, well, you know, we shoot these male grizzly bears and we're actually helping the population because more cubs survive. But that is a big myth.
And that's it?
I'd have to agree with that one. Oh. The reality is grizzly bears have survived on this course for a long time.
Yeah.
Without, you know, the intervention, trophy hunting and those kind of managements. And often with wildlife management, the reality is we need to be managing people, not wildlife. It's the actions of human beings on wildlife that's the thing we need to manage. And shooting, the idea of shooting grizzly bears to conserve them is like Thomas rightly identifies, a myth.
I think the notion that the bears are extinct or are they extinct in Europe?
They're not extinct exactly. I mean, they're pockets in Romania and some Eastern European countries where the bears are still around, so they're not exactly extinct. But in Western Europe.
Yeah, I guess the writing's on the wall, though. I mean, there are so many species that are extinct because of human intervention that this would be another indication of something we shouldn't do for a lot of different reasons.
Absolutely. I mean, the Tasmanian tiger is a very good example in Australia that was literally hunted to extinction and doesn't exist anymore. And the grizzly bear used to live all over the North American continent down to the border with Mexico. And now it's just relegated to this particular pocket in the northwestern area of America. So we need to be very careful. And Alberta is a very good example of where population estimates can be wrong. And they had to place a moratorium on the hunting because they found, oh, we only have about 700 or 800 bears left. So we better stop hunting them.
Okay, Tom and Ross, I'm going to wrap up. But before we do, I just want to make sure we promote the movie because the trailer is spectacular and I can't wait to see the movie. The movie, again, is available on Vimeo.
That's correct. The movie is available on Vimeo on demand. People can rent it or they can purchase it and download it. And as I said, proceeds will go towards Raincoast Conservation Foundation and hopefully will help not just ending the grizzly bear hunt, but also conservation efforts like protecting habitats and salmon stocks.
And for more information, anybody can Google the grizzly truth and come up with all of the coordinates for what they need to do and find out more?
Absolutely. Just Google it, and you will find links to the Vimeo page, but also to the Facebook page, where they can get involved as well with people that have been discussing this on both sides of the argument. So there's some very interesting arguments going on the Facebook page, which is Facebook/GrizzlyTruth.
Okay. Ross, let's talk about the Raincoast Conservation Foundation just before we go, because you had a number of things you wanted to bring up.
Yeah, so just a reminder that tomorrow Friday we launch a Save the Great Bears campaign where people can contribute to ending the trophy hunt of grizzly bears in the Great Bear Rainforest. And for all the listeners who are parents of children out there, we actually have a BC Bear Day on Saturday afternoon at Capilano University from 1 to 4 p.m. It's a free community event where you can come and bring your children and your families to learn all about bears and their conservation in British Columbia.
And if people want to find out more about your organization, they go where?
They can go to www.raincoast.org, and they can also visit Raincoast. If you just look out for Raincoast Conservation Foundation on Facebook, you'll find all the details you need.
That's terrific. I want to thank you both for joining us. It's been a real pleasure, and I'm grateful. I think we're all grateful for the work you're doing.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. This is Roundhouse Radio at 98.3 in Vancouver. This program is called Impact. And I'm Don Schaefer. We'll be back in a minute.